Welcome to the Pint Glass Football Podcast.
This is Pint Glass Football. We talk NFL and college football. I'm your host, Brad Fowler. Follow us at pintglassfootball.com. Subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. What's up, PGF Nation? We're back with an emergency podcast. After an embarrassing blowout loss to the Raiders on Thursday Night Football, the Chargers have fired Brandon Staley and GM Tom Telesco. We decided to jump on the mic and give our reaction to this move. Joining me, as always, my co-host, Alex Higdon. Alex, let's start with what we saw from the Chargers on Thursday Night Football. Now, you texted me mid-game and said, if Staley makes it through the weekend, I'll be surprised. Well, he didn't. So your thoughts first on the Chargers' performance.
What an absolute debacle. And you oftentimes throughout the pod, you hear me talk about Madden scores. This is literally a Madden score. Coming off a 3-0 debacle that they had the previous week, they were primed for an explosion. However, I don't think any of us were expecting this Easton Stick, Kellen Moore being there, and what we're seeing now, this has been one of the more down years on quarterbacks. We're watching several backup quarterbacks, and we can even just talk about Tommy DeVito and what we saw from the Giants and the performance he had on Monday night against the Green Bay Packers. For them to have this guy coming in during this year and basically show nothing, obviously he did have some good things happen towards the end, but that was garbage time. With the weapons they have on this team, with the type of players that they have on offense and defense, they should have been able to at least remain competitive. They could have lost, but if this is maybe a 21-14 game, which I think you said before, he probably doesn't get fired and they look a lot better. But this was a complete and utter debacle. It was literally 42-0 at halftime. This was disgusting display. The players quit. Everybody quit on this team. I'm pretty sure even the water boy and water girl quit on this team for the Chargers under Brandon Staley. It was time for him to go.
Alex, you're absolutely right. And I hate throwing around the word quit because I think it gets overused. But this really was an example of that. It was an embarrassment. Like, there's no way around it. It was an embarrassment to the game of football. It was an embarrassment to the NFL. It was an embarrassment to the Chargers franchise. It was very apparent watching this game, Alex. There was a lack of effort that these guys gave out there. They gave up. They checked out. It was very, very obvious watching this game. And if you're a head coach, the one thing that you have to get week after week, no matter what your team looks like, backups or not, backup quarterback, whatever, the one thing you have to get every week is a full effort from your players. You have to get that buy-in every week. I tweeted this last night mid-game at PGF Podcast on Twitter. I said, this team just officially quit on Brandon Staley. It was evident. We all saw it. There were guys, Alex, I know you saw this too. They were simply making business decisions out there. Arm tackles, no effort. And if we saw it, you know the Spanos family saw it, and they knew that this had to end now. No point in dragging this out to the end of the season. Let's get a head start on looking for the next coach and the next GM. Because the other part of this, obviously, is Tom Telesco, now fired as well with Staley. They're cleaning house. So your thoughts on them firing Telesco with Staley?
So here we go. Tom Telesco, as a GM and the one and picking the coaches and picking the groceries, is 84-92. He's had, been to five playoff games in that 11-year career. Now, the one thing that we can say for his 10-year career, I honestly can say, I believe that they have had the most talented football team, and I'm a person who is a fan of an AFC West team in the Raiders. They have had probably the most talented team during my entire lifetime as a Raiders fan, and specifically probably during his 10-year, and I guess maybe we could maybe look and see when Peyton Manning fits into that era for the quick time that Denver had him. But for the most part, they have had the most talented team in this division. So it's obvious that he knows what he's doing when it comes to getting players, because they get hell of a lot of talent. Now, what they've been able to do has truly been the issue. So in those 11 years, six winning seasons out of 11 years, but a bunch of 9-7s. So 4 9-7s, but in two double digit win seasons that he's had. And that's including Phillip Rivers. And from Phillip Rivers, he went to Justin Herbert. That's two great quarterbacks. Justin Herbert, who looks to be on a bigger trajectory, and then a hell of a lot of talent that he's been able to surround them with. And it just seems they have not been able to get the coach right, if that's what we want to point the finger at here. So looking at Tom Telesco, I think a great talent evaluator, but it's apparent he was never able to get the coach right to pull everything together. And I guess it was time that the ownership felt to move on. The interesting thing, and I guess we'll talk about soon, is where do they go next?
Yeah, Alex, you hit it on the head, because like you said, he's been there, what, 11 seasons? You mentioned the record there, not great. Only two playoff wins. If you look around the rest of the league, there's not many GMs in a spot for over a decade without even making it to a conference championship game. So I'm with you. I think he's a good talent evaluator. I think he has put together some really good rosters. But the bottom line is, this is a results-driven business. And it, like you said, it was time to clean house, start fresh, try to create a new culture with some new voices, some new ideas. I don't blame the Chargers. I think we knew Staley's seat was red hot. I think most of us thought there was a very good chance he was not going to survive the end of the season. But this performance, like we talked about a minute ago, it was so embarrassing. He had clearly lost the locker room. And when you see that happen, you know you've got to make sweeping changes. And I think Telesco was part of that sweeping change. Now, whoever the coach and the GM are next, I know this much. They better address that offensive line immediately, because you can't have another Andrew Luck situation with Justin Herbert. And this is a kid who's athletic enough to avoid a lot of hits. He's not a statue back there, and he still gets hit way, way too often. Now, the thing that they're going to have to assess here in the offseason, Alex, is what they want to do with some of the older players on this roster. And that's going to be interesting to see what the new GM does from that standpoint. Because you've got guys like Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa. All of them have contracts over $30 million next year. The Chargers really went all in on this year. They restructured all four of those contracts. There's going to be some tough decisions, and especially next year, on how to reshape this team.
And I just took a quick look at their salary structure. Obviously, Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Derwin James are at the top of that list. Obviously, they're not going to cut Justin Herbert, so I'm not going to mention him at all. But if you're coming in and you're a new GM, you're going to have to look at those five guys who are at the top of the salary structure and what you're actually going to do moving forward. Two people I saw them not bringing back were going to be Joey Bosa and Keenan Allen. I had already earmarked them for two guys who were going to be cut at season's end, with an asterisk next to Derwin James as well. But now, looking at what this team has done, looking at how they look and what we saw Thursday night, and probably now you're bringing in a brand new GM, I can really see them coming in and maybe, because you can get some, you can trade a Bosa, you can trade a Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, or Derwin James, and get some things back or cut them to get some salary cap back and then make some decisions going forward. You know what I say, Brad? I don't think the Chargers are far away. They're just a coach away. Now, when you look at Jim Harbaugh, and it's my narrative and it's what I've always believed, is that he's going to the NFL. Now with no GM there and a coaching vacancy, I know they don't spend a lot of money, but this would be a perfect space for Jim Harbaugh to enter in. You have a bona fide top five, top 10 quarterback, wherever you want to put him, and a talented roster that you can shape and form and come in and win right away. I think this is really up to the Spanos family if they want to press that button or not.
Yeah, I think this is, without a doubt, I think it will be, because we know there's going to be more openings at the end of the year. But I think this is going to be, without a doubt, the most attractive job opening in the NFL this offseason. Like you mentioned, you've got a super talented young quarterback. You've got a young left tackle, which we know is a key position to build around. You have some pass rushers. And here's the other thing. At this rate, it looks like they're going to have a top five pick, most likely in April. They don't need a quarterback, so they can trade that pick and probably get a haul of picks, multiple first-round picks, maybe a second or third. And like you mentioned, this roster isn't terrible. There's some pieces here. So if you get some key draft picks back as well, now it might be a slightly overrated roster. I think some of the talent on this roster has more value in name than they do on the field at this point, but it's not a bad roster. That is for sure. And this team has a lot to offer a new regime that they have some pieces to work with. Now, I want to address something you said here though, because I heard a Chargers insider today say that there's no way that they could go after Bill Belichick because they can't afford him, which I thought was interesting. He didn't say anything about them being too cheap. He actually said they can't afford him. And he also went on to say Sean Payton wasn't an option last year because they can't afford him either. So Jim Harbaugh, I think that makes him out of the question. And I'm with you. I think Harbaugh would be a perfect fit for this team. But I just don't know, because it sounds like they just might not have the funds to go after a big-time coach like that. So I think what's going to happen here, I think unfortunately for them, they're going to have to go cheap again and go after probably a young coordinator and roll the dice. On the offensive side, I think there's three coordinators to circle. Ben Johnson, Lions offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick, Texans offensive coordinator, and Eric Bieniemy, Washington offensive coordinator.
You know, and I think all of them will be in rotations for interviews. Slowick is the one guy that I don't think will get a job. I think he'll get his first round of interviews this year, and then maybe the fall after next year, if he can continue on, he may get a job. But I think Ben Johnson is very prime. I think if I'm not mistaken, he was very high on the list for David Tepper in Carolina. So I think he's going to get a job this year. And I also believe Eric Bieniemy, if Washington decides to move on from him in terms of when they move on from Ron Rivera, he's also going to be getting a job. Now, Eric Bieniemy, I like a lot simply because of his familiarity with the AFC West, especially the key piece at the top of the AFC West in order to dethrone in Patrick Mahomes. So he would probably be the most likely in terms of where my team is in the division and what I can do if I have somebody like that on my team who can also indirectly help me out defensively as well and how to defend Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, here's the one thing I want to do in terms of pushing back when they say they can't afford. And this is, and I think I've mentioned this maybe once or twice, but just so that people understand, I'm a real nerd about the salary cap and understanding it. When you see these huge signing bonuses and money that they say is okay, the contract is $200 million, but $150 million is guaranteed, that works like your 401k. So what happens is whatever that number is for the bonus that's guaranteed, the owner, the Spanos family, has to go into their pocket and put up into some type of IRA or savings account to guarantee that salary. So if the business folded, those players get that guaranteed money. So my question would be, my pushback to that writer and the whole organization would be, if you're saying you don't have the money, or what would that number be? I don't believe Jim Harbaugh is $20 to $25 million a year as a $20 to $25 million a year coach, right? So if you're putting up $150, because you have to come up with that $150 up front, out the gate, which is why when you watch what the Rams did all that year when they were just giving out monies, because one, the owner himself is a billionaire. And then, if he ran out of money, he can go to his billionaire Walton wife, owner of Walmart, and go get some of her billions. That's why they were able to do those contracts, front load them the way that they did. So they obviously have some semblance of money. And if you're telling me that you can't find, let's just say 15 to 20, if that is the market rate for a Jim Harbaugh, and I don't think it may even cost that much, that you can go get him. If you're telling me that you can't find that for 4 to 5 years, then you need to sell your team. That's how I look at that. Because the Raiders, who are just as poor or even poorer than you were able to find $100 million for John Gruden, you for sure can find the money for Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting statement for sure, because we've always seen them as being a cheap ownership group, an ownership group that doesn't want to spend. But he made it clear when he was saying that they can't afford it. And he did say Belichick would be a guy that would be a $25 million a year coach. And that guys like Peyton, who obviously is off the market now, but guys like him and Harbaugh wouldn't be far behind that. I know Michigan is throwing around some huge dollar amounts to try to retain Harbaugh and offering a really, really long-term contract. So maybe the combination of those things is just not going to be appealing enough to pull him away. I don't know. It's interesting for sure, because I know I would go after one of those established guys. But what about the defensive side? Because everyone's talking offense. Everyone's thinking offensive guy. And obviously, for obvious reasons, because you've got a young quarterback, it kind of makes sense. But the defense has been a total joke since Staley was hired. Maybe you go the other way and you get a defensive guy, you fix that side of the ball, knowing that when you look at Justin Herbert's record, his record is actually really good when the defense gives up 28 or less points. You know, it's not even asking a lot, but if his when his defense plays average, he has a pretty good winning record. So here's a couple names that I think would be really intriguing, Alex, and I want your thoughts, obviously. I think Brian Flores, Vikings defensive coordinator, would be potentially a really good hire, and he comes with head coaching experience, so it's a lot less risky. And I also think Dan Quinn, defensive coordinator for the Cowboys, I think would be a really solid hire as well. And once again, a guy with prior head coaching experience. What do you think of those two names as potential candidates?
I like those two names. I like Brian Flores a lot. I think Brian Flores has really, if there was a coordinator, coach of the year, he should deserve that, because that Vikings defense was awful. And all he really could do was blitz, but they have been progressing throughout the year and have gotten better and better each and every single week. And there's nothing on that team except Danielle Hunter. I personally would rather lean towards the offensive coach and then go and maybe pluck somebody from that, let's say, Jets defensive staff or that Browns defensive staff. You have to put all your onus and get that offense back on track, because he's kind of, I don't want to say regressed, but it hasn't looked as smooth as even when Anthony Lynn was there. But I think to get him back on track, I would feel more comfortable getting an offensive head coach in there. And then, you know, lastly, as we close this all out, we've talked about coaches from the offensive side and the defensive side. The one thing that we haven't spoken about is the person who possibly may be doing the hiring is the GM. What do you do there? I don't know, Chargers. You better figure it out and figure it out fast.
Alex, you are absolutely right. It is going to be fascinating to see what this franchise does and what direction they go next. But you know we'll be following it like always here at Pint Glass Football. We'll be back, guys, with a regular episode next Thursday. If you haven't already, go back and listen to yesterday's podcast as well, where we recapped Week 14 and we previewed some big Week 15 games for this weekend. Like always, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. I'm Brad Fowler. He's Alex Higdon. This is Pint Glass Football, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Pint Glass Football Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and follow us on Twitter at PGF Podcast.